Hello, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the school board for Monday, April 8th, 2019. Mrs. Ratch, will you take the role, please?
Mrs. Fairgreath.
Here.
Mrs. Linkimer.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mr. Noling.
Here.
Ms. Weibel.
Here.
Mrs. Yule.
Here. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone, to the April meeting. The first item on the agenda is citizen comments, and the first and only speaker is Joe Blomquist. Mrs. Linkimer.
Hello, Mr. Blomquist. Hold for a moment, please. The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker, to a total of 30 minutes at the beginning of the meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you, Mrs. Linkimer. Mr. Blomquist, welcome.
Good evening. Joe Blomquist, SCEA president. I just wanted to take this opportunity thank our three outgoing board members for a number of things. First of all, for stepping up, whether it be just under a year ago, 4 years ago, or 16 years ago, it takes a lot to step up into this sometimes thankless position. And I really appreciate your willingness to do this for the best interests of our students. Number two, I want to thank you for speaking up. I can honestly say that the questions that I've heard in our committee meetings, in our board meetings, by the three of you have been very thoughtful and very researched, and I really appreciate you asking sometimes the tough questions. Sometimes the questions that that we need our community to hear as well. And finally, I want to thank you for standing up, because I know a lot of times you've had to make some difficult decisions. I know sometimes they haven't been popular. I really appreciate your willingness to take that bold proclamation and stand up for your beliefs. And I think it's an attribute that I want all of our students and all of our staff to follow. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all three of you. Thank you.
Board members, since it was directed to three of us, did anybody want to say anything?
12 years, Mr. Blomquist, not four.
That's a good one. It's on and off. Thank you.
I would just say thank you. Thank you. Beyond that, I'll cry, so I'll just say thank you.
And I would say the same thing. It's been the pleasure of a lifetime. I'm glad I did it. Thank you. Oh, next item on the agenda is the superintendent's report.
Well, good evening. We have just a couple of announcements and a couple of recognitions tonight, so I think we'll begin with the recognitions. This is the time of year when we have the opportunity to celebrate and recognize our National Board Certified Teachers. This year in District 303, we have 5 new National Board Certified Teachers that have taken it upon themselves to go through a very extensive process to do some teaching, to get some feedback from some peers, and to have an opportunity to go through the process of putting together a portfolio that is assessed, and then they are actually granted this designation. We are very proud as a district, because currently we have 134 of our staff members that are National Board Certified Teachers. This is an exceptional number. We are actually ranked 3rd in the state of Illinois for districts having National Board Certified Teachers, and it's because of a commitment both on the part of the board, but then also on the part of our educators, understanding that this is a really important step step in professional development and professional learning, and being willing to take the step to do the work and to be recognized. So this is a great opportunity for us tonight. We have five that are being recognized. I believe only three of them are with us this evening. So I'm going to just say their names. If you are here tonight, if you would stand up, and then we'll talk to you about our very exciting ceremony that we will be going through in just a moment. So we have Marissa Zerlin from Richmond Intermediate. Marissa is here. We have Michael DeWeese from St. Charles East High School. We have Amy Franck from Munhall Elementary School. And then I believe we have two more who were not able to be here with us this evening. Leah Romaine from Bell Graham Elementary School, and then Tracy Truax from St. Charles East High School. Tracy and Leah are not here, right? Okay, great. All right, so what we'd like for you to do as our newly certified or newly recognized National Board Certified Teachers, if you could just tell us your name, if you brought anybody with you tonight, and then how long you've been working in the district and what you teach. So we'll start at the back. Yes. Yes, come to the mic. And you might as well just stay right there, because Ms. Shule's going to come out and present you with something.
So, as it was stated, I'm Marissa Zerlin. I'm currently teaching third grade at Richmond Elementary, and previously I was at Haynes in special education, and this is my fourth year in the district.
I'm Amy Franck, and I taught at Davis for 7 years, stayed home for 10 to raise my children. They have educators here in the room that are at the high school, and two of them are National Board Certified Teachers this year, so that was exciting. And then I've been back at Munhall for 7 years, second grade now.
Great. Michael DeWeese, I've been in district 13 years, I think. I think that's how long I've been here. And project lead, I got the project lead the way program started 10 years ago this year, I believe. Since then, I've worked on my master teacher for Project Lead the Way. I'm a recognized master teacher. And this year, our high schools were both recognized as being distinguished for the Project Lead the Way program. So it's been a good run.
Well, we have a small token that we would like. Oh, you want to say? Yes.
I have three students that.
Okay. Wonderful. Great. Do you mind just telling us your name and what grade you are in school?
I'm Joey.
Okay.
I'm a senior.
Great. Thanks for being here and thanks for coming. Mrs. Huell would like to present you with a small token, District 303 business cards. You can take those out and hand them out across the community. You're welcome to drop them into bowls at restaurants for free dinners. So
budget's really tight. Yes.
Thank you again for coming tonight and for giving us the opportunity to recognize you. We continue to be committed as a district to supporting our staff members that are interested in working through this process. Mrs. Jensen, our Director of Instruction, works with Illinois State University, which is kind of the state host of the National Board Certified Teaching process, and she works with them to kind of help our staff members that are interested in walking through that process to become certified. So again, thank you to our staff members, and we are really proud of the accomplishments in this area. I did want to just mention a couple of other things this evening. One is that I noticed that our three incoming board members are actually here tonight, so I would just ask you to stand when I say your name. Mr. Bryant is here. Mrs. McCabe is here as well, and then also Mrs. Barker. Thank you so much for coming, and we look forward to being able to recognize you when we seat you on April the 29th at 6 p.m., and we'll also have a chance to celebrate the outgoing board members as well. So thank you for being here tonight, and we look forward to seeing you again on the 29th. Thank you. I also wanted to mention that this is the season for events, celebrations, and recognitions. On Saturday night, the St. Charles Education Foundation had its annual gala event at the Baker Hotel. It was a sold-out crowd. For those of you that were not able to come, I think this was one of the first times in a while that they've been able to actually be at capacity for that event. It's a really important event for our community, and I just wanted to express my appreciation to the St. Charles Education Foundation for their efforts in raising money for our students to be able to provide grants for our teachers and our classrooms, but also to some scholarships for students as well. They are an important part of our district and our community, and I appreciate their efforts. So thank you to board members and to administrators and teachers that were able to attend. I know SCEA had a presence at the event, as well as several of our administrators and board members. So thank you for that. That brings us to our next recognition event, which is actually on Thursday of this week. Our D303 staff recognition event is this Thursday night, April the 11th, and it starts at 6 o'clock at East High School. This is our chance to recognize and celebrate our staff members for years of service to the district, but then also those staff members that are retiring. So we look forward to having the opportunity to work with them as well. I believe that completes the superintendent's report. Thank you, Ms. Huell.
Thank you, Dr. Pearson. We have, committee reports. I didn't write down. I usually do write down which committees met, but I'm imagining business services met.
We did.
Would you like to give a report? I don't know. I looked at you first. Sorry.
And let him go first.
It's the first thing that came to my mind. B comes before L.
All right. We did meet on March 21st. And we had several items that will be on for consent tonight, as well as some items for information. As always, we led off with our Mid-Valley financial report, as well as our D303 financial report, which are in your packets for information. Next, Dr. Galt brought us the K-8 math consumables and happy numbers renewal, and that's on for consent tonight. Dr. Chapman presented the North uniform purchase through BSN, which is our, district contract with the high schools, and that's on for consent tonight. So those are new uniforms for North. Our next two items were policy changes, or press changes, I should say, so just things that were brought by press. Policy 445, insufficient fund checks, as well as policy 650, school wellness. The next item, which is on for consent, is our audit service contract. Dr. Chapman and his team went out for RFP and brought us several quotes, and we are pending board approval. Miller Cooper and Company will be the new audit service for 1920 and 21. Next, Mr. Lamp came up and gave us a construction update on Thompson, and things continue to move along on schedule there. Our next item pertaining to Thompson, actually, is our FF&E purchases. This would be our second purchase for the second phase, and that is on for consent tonight. Our next item was our big topic that we discussed at length, which is the Haynes repurpose discussion. We continue to see a few other options that was brought by administration, and we continue to discuss that, and it'll be continued next month, where we talk about some of the programming ideas and continue to flush out some ideas and things, and look forward to having that discussion in a couple weeks. Then our next couple items, Mr. Baird brought us quotes. The first one is the contract for St. Charles East High School main gym scoreboard replacement. That is on for consent tonight. The next item is the Lincoln Elementary LRC carpet replacement, on for consent. And then our last construction-based quote is the award of contract for North High School's main gym bleacher seat replacement. And then our final item, Dr. Chapman brought us a update on the food service bid RFP, and they are continuing to vet the lower bids for K-8 as well as the high school level, and they're going to bring us an update at our next board meeting. So we'll get to kind of see that as they've vetted the potential, what do you want to call them? Vendors. And then we had one citizen comment pertaining to Haynes at the end of our meeting. And then we meet April 25th.
Is that correct?
Correct. All right. That concludes business service update.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manheim. Mr. McNally, please.
All right. Second place this time. So we started with a welcome celebrations recognitions. Mr. David Chizar, our Executive Director for Assessment and Accountability, spent the weekend of March 15th through 16th overseeing the Illinois State Academic Decathlon, which is an international competition of individuals and school teams demonstrating knowledge and skills through tests, essays, interviews, and speeches. Next, we all the schools in District 303, D303, were recognized as Distinguished Project Lead the Way schools for 2019. That's out of 426 schools that have received the national recognition. So congratulations to all the schools, educators, and students for the great work there. And the incubator final pitch night will be on the 21st of May. And the students in the program will present their final idea pitches, hoping for seed funding and interest from local businesses to proceed with their ideas. We had a next up, we have our discussion, learning management system. And we had a discussion about the need for a new learning management system, studied in accordance with district strategies and objective. Definition of learning management system is that software application for administration, documentation, tracking, reporting, and delivery of educational courses, training programs, or learning and development programs. This is to support innovative learning experiences for students, staff, parents, and community. And we compared Google Classroom with Schoology. And the new learning management system could provide blended learning opportunities, pairing face-to-face learning with self-paced digital learning and professional learning courses and workshops for the staff. Design team compared Schoology with Canvas, which is another system. The unanimous support was for Schoology. So the next steps that were presented were planning by the district design team, technical and platform setup, and training and rollout. And this is going to be on for consent. There's a total cost of $31,950 for 4,500 student accounts. Next up was discussion of policy 750, school admission for students and student transfers to and from non-district schools. Policy has been updated with language to allow for early entrance to kindergarten through first grade through board policy in the accelerated placement program. The AP program, accelerated placement program, was discussed, and I'm going to discuss that a little more in length because that is an action item. So I'm going to discuss that a little more in length at length when it's up for action. And next up was the district assessment plan. Mr. Chizar, again, gave the a rundown of the current assessment plan for 2018-19 and the 2019-20 assessment plan, and there's no action required for that. And I believe that completes my report.
Thank you, but I would ask if you would indulge me in repeating the Project Lead the Way honor that we received. You stated it, but I find it to be something so outstanding, and Mr. DeWeese is gone.
Absolutely. I don't mind saying
please,
it again.
I mean, it's kind of unbelievable.
All right. All schools, I probably should have emphasized, and I was trying to get through all schools in this district, were recognized as Distinguished Project Lead the Way schools for 2019, and that is out of only 426 schools that have received that recognition nationwide. So that is a big deal.
Out of 11,000 schools, 426 got this, and we were 14. Thank
yes.
You. I like this. Thank you for indulging.
All right. You broke it down better than me. So
she
It's, you know, it wasn't even in the district 10 years ago, so that's incredible. Congratulations to your staff.
Okay. It was, real quick, too, it was exciting to hear that it was a trivia question on Saturday night at the gala.
Right.
So I thought that was exciting, too, because, you know, it's always good to, you know, promote things and talk about all the good things, and Mr. Deweese isn't here, but I was kind of exciting 10 years ago when I was a substitute teacher for that long-term sub. That's when they started it at the high schools. So I kind of was the guinea pig for Mrs. Brown at North, but I worked with Mr. Deweese as we kind of developed, or no, I just shouldn't say developed, I helped roll it out for 6 weeks. But it was exciting, and I always, it's something Project Wheatley, I think it's an amazing program for our district, and I'm really excited that it's continued to, administration's continued to build that up and push it down further and further into classes. And I believe last year even Maddie at second grade had some kind of like little touch on it, which is really exciting.
I think it's only been fully in the elementary school this year. Mm-hmm. Or not last year and this year, fully?
We rolled it out over a couple of years.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fully.
Yeah, it was,
okay,
it,
but still,
it was a long-term rollout. I know that.
Thank you for your part.
You
did.
But it is exciting to see how it's grown. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's really exciting now to see that they've been recognized.
It's grown and we're good at
and
it.
And all of our schools are recognized.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we will be meeting again next Monday at 5:30. So, all right.
Thank you. Community relations met.
Yes. So community relations met Thursday, April 4th. And we had two really great things on the agenda. One was our student liaison comprehensive report. So they came in and they did a really great job, our representative from North and East, Anna and Sam. And they came in and talked about the survey that they did last fall. So the survey was a little bit smaller in response because it was 450 versus 2,000, which is a lot smaller, because they had done it as a supplemental post test survey instead of a requirement survey. So they are going to look at changing that for next year. But they did do a lot of data collection through that, though, through the 450 participation. They talked about the presence of IDs and kind of the pros and cons of those. There was actually some insightful information that were brought back to the principals, and they'll talk about it there at their schools. They talked about stronger enforcement of the IDs and more staff visibility. The cafeteria food was always a hot topic. Blanche, get it? Okay, no laughs from the crowd for that hot topic. Okay. Anyhow, so they talked about it being less expensive and healthier options, and so that goes right in line with what the administration's objectives are right now and looking for new vendors. And so while we're looking at new vendors, that's another thing for us to keep in mind is healthier options, less expensive. So I think that goes right in line with what Dr. Chapman and Mr. Moore are doing. They also talked about the Chromebooks and that it helps in class. It helps the teachers with the lesson plan, so it was great to hear some feedback from our stakeholders there. It's safer, and they talked about a safer and more organized parking lot. So driving in traffic is always an interesting topic. And then a later start time did come up, but it wasn't really the majority that we've had in the past, so that was good. So for their next steps, obviously they would want to go into the survey doing a requirement or, you know, a recommended versus a, hey, do this when you have time. So they would want to slot out time for them to do the survey so they can get as much student participation as possible. I think they really value that feedback, and it's good for the principals to have that feedback to try to help, you know, tweak what they're doing there. And they might ask, they're going to talk about what they want to ask for next year, so we didn't really get into that. The one good thing is for our next meeting, before I go into the next agenda item, which happens to be on Tuesday, May 28th, is these particular students will be graduating. So we've had them for 2 years, so I'm really excited for their commitment that they've given us. But they're really brilliant and very committed students, so it's going to be exciting to kind of see where they're headed and what their future is. So I'm just excited for that. I hope the board that's here can help celebrate with them about what the future holds for them. So the other item I wanted to talk about is on our agenda tonight, so I'm not going to get into too much, but it's pretty exciting. I'm pretty jazzed about it. It's a Let's Talk I mean, I don't talk much, so it's going to be, you know, very hard for me to adapt to this one. But let's talk platform. It's a software to serve as a single, centralized, secure, cloud-based kind of software of incoming questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, compliments by any stakeholder in the district. So you can go on, you can be a parent, you can be a student, you can be a community member, you can be a business person, you can be a faculty, you can be whomever, you can hide your identity if you want. You know, we prefer to know who you are so we can talk to you, but it kind of brings it all in, and then it filters it in through different demographic information, and then we can slice and dice it, which is my favorite way to say it the other day. And we can put that data output into then kind of a course of action on what do we need to address, are there common topics, how do we develop a strategic plan from there. It's in multiple languages. There is a system in it that's built in for people to respond to, kind of have a check and balance system to make sure they're being responded to in a timely way. There's a customer service training option for people, for our staff. And it's a really great product that Dr. Pearson brought to the board. So I'm really excited for that. So thank you. That is on your action today. So we can ask questions about that when we get to that. It talks about dialogues from multiple channels and issues alerts to administrators if there's anything concerning in there. So it's got tons of features. It's a really great product. So that's pretty much it for community relations. I think that's it. So I mentioned it was the 28th of May. Yeah, no, that's okay. It's a late one. It's like right at the end of the year on Tuesday at 5:30. And so, and we'll be honoring those students and doing some other things then. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Our last meeting of the month was policy.
There are 16 policies that you will find tonight on the consent agenda. You know, policy committee meetings sometimes can be kind of dry, because very often all we're doing is we're changing wording on something or the annotation is different and there's not a lot of meat in the change. But you will notice one thing tonight on the four action items, number F, E, we're going to be discussing discipline procedures. And then under for information, the student handbooks also will be brought up. It was a very good meeting, very methodically gone through. I thought we went through all of the changes in the discipline procedures. I think one thing that impresses me about the changes going forward in the state, but also here, is that we understand that we have an obligation and a commitment to each of our children, even if they're undergoing a hard time, to be able to continue to educate them and to not ostracize them from the school, that we have a commitment to them to keep them engaged in learning during that time. We used to call it in-school suspension. Back in my day, it was Saturday morning school. But to know that we have that commitment to children, regardless of what their situation is, to try to help them through it, help them understand what happened, how to prevent that from occurring again, but to continue their education. So I'll be looking tonight for item E on discipline procedures, and then also on the student handbooks coming in under the under information piece of the agenda.
Good. Thank you very much. That is a difficult committee. There's no more reading than on policy committee. So thank you very much, Mrs. Linkemer, Mr. Noling, for doing it these few months. Other items or other, there was just a DPTO met, and kind of there were a few new people in there, so they reintroduced themselves, and we did get a presentation from Dr. Galt on dashboard.
Right.
The dashboard, strategic dashboard in the on the website, and I think all the parents that were there were very impressed that we had this new resource for them. And I really hope that it becomes widespread in the district, because answers are at your fingertips. And that was essentially that meeting. So was there anything else from anyone else? Nope. Okay. That concludes committee reports. We'll move on to four action. First item is, may I have a motion on the St. Charles East High School foreign travel for spring 2020?
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Second.
Mr. McNally. Is there any presentation or anything, or just we've read it, we've seen these before?
Sure, yeah. So as you know, if we have foreign travel, anytime we have students that go out of the country, our process requires the board to approve those trips. You know, we have many students that take trips with different groups. The English department at St. Charles East High School, I think, has now become one of those groups. They've gone now. Is this going to be your third trip? Yeah. So Mr. Burkhart and Dr. Reed are back there in the back of the room. And so they went this year to Italy, and last year was England. Yeah. And then next year they're going to Scotland and Ireland. Is that right? So that's the request that you see. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, as long as we have students that are interested in taking these trips and staff members that are willing to give up their breaks and vacation times to chaperone, it's a really great opportunity to enhance their educational experience. So thank you, gentlemen. And that's the request that you see in front of you tonight.
Thank you. I did not see you there, Dr. Reed. Thank you for coming. Have you ever, how fortunate for you to be going to Ireland and Scotland? I can't think of two better places. Have you gone before, Mr. Burkhart? No? Wow. Wow. I have time now. I could be another another chaperone.
There's three of us up
There's
here.
There's three of us, yeah. That's wonderful. Really, I can't think of any better place. I'd go back in a heartbeat. Do you think you'll get the 25 students that you need to run the... Is it 20, 20, 25 to run the program?
A minimum of 12.
Oh, it's a minimum of 12.
A minimum of 12, yes.
Okay.
It'd be wonderful to get 30 that we
Okay, good.
We will make as many as we'll go.
I hope you get all 30. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your break. It's a fantastic opportunity. Board members, any other comments? None heard. Would you please take the roll?
Mrs. Linkerman.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
Ms. Weipel.
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Yule.
Yes, the motion carries. A year, I guess 11 months from now. Thank you for coming. Next item on the agenda is the placement of the fiscal year 2018-19 Community Unit School District 303 amended budget to be put on public display and schedule a public hearing. May I have that motion?
So move.
Mr. Manheim.
Second.
Mr. McNally. Any other questions just to put it on display? Oh, do you want to?
Yeah, this is just our procedure. We have to put a budget on display when we initially approve it, but we also have to do the same thing when we amend the budget. There's that 30-day requirement for us to have it put on display. So that's what you're doing tonight. You're voting to approve to put it on display, and then when at the next board meeting, it will be on for approval.
Okay. All right. Ms. Retro, will you take the roll?
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mr. Noling.
Yes.
Ms. Weipel.
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkerman.
Yes.
Mrs. Rule.
Yes, the motion carries. Okay, this is the right one. Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the resolution to release non-tenured licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees to be dismissed at the close of the school term. Do I have a motion that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you, authorizing directing the President and Secretary to give the non-tenure license employees other than final year probationary license employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached hereto written notice of this Board's decision to not reemploy said licensed employees for the 2019-20 school year, and in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these non-tenured licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution. Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
I recommend we adopt this resolution. Is there?
You asked for a motion. So
okay. Do I have a motion? Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Weibel. Ms. Weibel, thank you. And a second?
Yes.
Either way. Ms. Faircree. It'd be nice. Thank you. Did you get the two? Okay. Sorry, I missed the...
That's okay.
I thought it seemed different. Okay. Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Is there any other discussion? May I then have a roll call vote?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes.
And now, 5D. Do I have a motion that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give the selected non-licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached hereto written notice of this Board's decision to honorably dismiss said personnel effective as of the end of the 2019 school term, and in view of the fact that resolution form in front of you is the same for these selected non-licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this resolution. May I have that motion? Mrs.
So moved.
Ms. Second. Weddle. Second to Ms. Linkemer. Read that, okay. Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Is there any other discussion? And I see here that Mr. Moore has a quick statement.
Yes, I just wanted you to take notice that the release list for support staff is much shorter than in the past this year. We're releasing only enrollment assistance this time. Our special education leadership put a lot of time and effort into matching up all of the positions we have with the current special ed TAs, meaning that we didn't need to release any of them this time. In the past, we'd release about 20 and then rehire most of them. So we did the work up front this time.
Very good. Thank you for that. It's good to know that.
Sorry, I just was going to say thank you for that. I think that's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? None heard? Would you take the vote, please?
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. May I have a motion on the District 303 discipline procedures?
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Second.
Mr. Noling? Is there any discussion about that?
I just wanted to highlight a couple things on there. Sorry, I'm struggling a little bit with a cough here. I just wanted to highlight specifically a few things that I noticed on there, and I'm sure the board noticed as well, but I know Mrs. Heal, you and I had a conversation about this. For the discipline behaviors, if there's any infraction of those discipline behaviors, the list of consequences now is more of a continuum. It's not listed per kind of behavior. It's listed as a continuum of consequences. And those are found on that, I can tell you what page it is on the packet. It's disciplinary interventions and actions on 55 and 56 of our packets. But I just wanted to make sure that we're all aware of that. So should anyone in the community ask us, you know, how does this work with if there's an infraction, where are the consequences? It used to be in a table. It's no longer set up that way. So I just want to make sure we're clear on kind of how that's set up. And then some of the things that were specific to buildings are no longer in there because these are district more guidelines, and then things like parking and that sort of thing are more building specific. So those are just some of the things I wanted to highlight that I learned coming out of the review.
You know what, thank you for bringing that up, because we did talk about it, and I did talk about it at the meeting in your stead, and I understand the reason has to do with new legislation or recent legislation, but I remain a little concerned that what used to be pretty clear might be perceived as vague, and a concern that things will be handled, you know, fairly to all, whereas opposed, you know, we can feel that our administrators will handle things fairly, but there could be a perception that, you know, this Johnny and that Johnny are different. And it's just a challenge, and I understand why we have to do it, but as a parent, I think I would read into this, it doesn't seem helpful to a parent. I will leave it at that.
I think it just, and that's why we would just want to highlight to our stakeholders that there's a continuum plethora of intervention actions. So a consequence can bring many actions. So it really is really important to follow the guidelines that we set up. And that's, I think, what the point, you know, the point of it is things are very different nowadays. And there are different circumstances for each student, but that's a kind of roll of the die that you're taking as a student if you're not following the policy guidelines. And so that's the unfortunate part, but that's there is no, oh, maybe if I do this, I can, only this will happen. It's just a very different continuum nowadays of what will happen. So, and I think it is difficult for parenting, and it just is a conversation that as parents you have to be more open. As a parent of a teenager, I'm just saying, you have to be more open with your teenager about, hey, this is all the things that could happen to you, by the way. So just don't do any of it. So that's just my personal take on it. So, but I think it's just, I appreciate you saying it's worth highlighting because I think it's important for us to highlight for our stakeholders. So thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else? Good.
Just one other quick thing. I, as we discussed it, I kind of recall that we were mostly kind of codifying our current practice, if I'm not mistaken, that we're kind of really doing a lot of this stuff already, and we're just kind of codifying it to comply with legislation. So any problems that we would perceive coming up may have already occurred and hopefully been ironed out. So
we shouldn't be afraid, but it's just a change like this in such an important area needs to highlight. As you mentioned, Ms. Weibel, I thought you had said, you know, you need to talk with your child. Unfortunately, you're usually reading this right after something happened. So
believe
to whatever
me,
ability.
I have a vested interest in school discipline, so I'm a big fan of it. So, I felt more comfortable after the meeting. After, you know, kind of understanding that this is something that's been in place for some time, and maybe we're sort of ahead of the curve a bit with this. So,
mm-hmm. And to that point, Dr. Pearson, I'm sure we're going to be very clear about how we're communicating this to all the stakeholders in our normal ways in the beginning of the year and that sort of thing, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. And
I apologize. I was not at policy.
Yeah. So I'd like to just reiterate some of the things that I did say at the policy meeting. One is that really our practice has not changed. It's just the structure of the handbook. It's where the prohibited behaviors are listed and then the continuum of consequences. That's actually a result of legal advice. We're actually behind the curve in doing it that way in our handbook. They asked us to do it last year, and it was too late in the process for us to do it. So we delayed one additional year. So we're behind in implementing that appropriately. But the other thing that I would just like to point out is we do have a district discipline committee that has stakeholders that are represented on it. They begin working in November, December-ish, at the very latest, right after the holiday break every year to try to meet, to go through the handbook and really intentionally be thoughtful about the alignment of our handbook, our discipline procedures with our board policy, and then any legislative changes. We continue to want to use that group to give us feedback and information. It's important that we have that input. It's also required that we have a group like that. One of our goals is to grow our parent participation in that group. We had some parents that participated on a regular basis in the past, and their students have graduated or moved on, or they've moved on to other roles, and we want to continue to grow that as well. So, taking that feedback and those folks that spend the time, into consideration is important. And then, of course, this year we also had our law firm go through the handbooks to make sure that there was alignment. One of our problems in the past is all of these documents lived kind of separately. They were housed in different places, and they were monitored and maintained in different places. And so if a board policy changed, or there was a change in legislation related to student discipline or anything related to our student procedures, it had to be changed in multiple places. And interestingly enough, when this group started this work, you found that in some handbooks it was updated, and other handbooks it had not been updated, or the board policy had changed and it wasn't referenced appropriately. So I just want to thank the committee for the work that they've done over the last, really it's been 3 years, to try to bring all of that into alignment and focus. I think they have it in a really good place now. And so now it's going to be the task of that group to maintain it.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything else? Nothing. Would you please take the roll, please?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Nolan?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. The next item is F, the Accelerated Placement Program. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. McNally?
Second.
Mrs. Linkamer? I'm remembering that Mr. McNally had some things he would talk about, so I would like to start with you.
So I just wanted to give just a kind of a brief overview of what we discussed. So for AT, we discussed revising criteria allowing for expanded access points during a student's education, multiple entry points given each school year. So if you were at the discussion, recall, they talked about a highway and that there's more than one entry to the highway to get into the AT program now. So that's you're giving kids multiple chances. The criterion reference measure in place of a cutoff was of a simple percentage and alignment with the Accelerated Placement Act. And then the Accelerated Placement Program, there's full grade acceleration criteria had been presented, and Iowa acceleration scale will be used to guide the identification process. And students must score at the 98th percentile nationally in order to be considered for further testing on a cognitive assessment, achievement measure, and or content-based placement exam. So.
Anyone have any questions or any further discussion about that? No?
I didn't. Oh, go ahead.
Good.
Go ahead, Mr. Nolan.
We talked about the on-ramps, and I wasn't at the meeting, and I think we might have touched on it briefly, but are there off-ramps? I mean, do we have students that get into the program and are accelerated at an early grade level and probably would be best served by no longer being in the program, but, you know, there's some, you know, familial pressure to stay in the program, I guess, and you know, are we equipped to handle that? If that happens.
We are, and we do that now. That takes place through a lot of conversation with the family, sometimes with the student, depending on the student's age, as well as the building leader and district office. And so we come together, we have multiple conversations, we monitor a child's success, oftentimes through their grades and their ability to demonstrate their understanding of the skills that are being presented over time. And so oftentimes it's, you know, conversations along the way, and then over time we recognize, and I think most of the time the families recognize as well, that, you know, that's just not a good, it's not a good time for the student right now to be in that program. It does not mean, especially with our new recommendation for criteria, it doesn't mean that that child may in another year have that opportunity to go ahead and regain access to that program. So there's several on-ramps and off-ramps, and I think that flexibility is really going, is designed to support kids.
And I do have a question. It might go to Dr. Galt as well. I mean, I like the new parameters and how we're potentially encompassing and testing more students. I was just curious about how are we going to enhance maybe the programming as AT evolves itself. Would you be able to speak to that a little bit?
That's a great question.
Okay, thanks.
Presented the criteria that we're going to use, and that's going to be applied to current programming except for the full grade level acceleration. So that's something new based on the new legislation from last July. As far as new programming, Dr. Rouge will be working with a stakeholder committee who will have representation from our parent group, representation from teachers and administrators, as we walk through a process of looking at current programming, our current data as to what it's telling us about those programs, as well as stakeholder satisfaction information, and then we'll use that information to guide us in establishing future programming.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I did have 2 points. You talked about the academically talented and the accelerated, but this also applies to kindergarten early, and I think that maybe got a little bit lost, and I think that's important because I think that I've been approached by parents myself. And so could you speak to the change at kindergarten?
So that would be the policy that we're recommending, and essentially we're going to follow the same process that we have followed in the past, which is that if parents would like their child considered for early entry into our kindergarten program, they would follow that process of being identified through testing that they would seek outside of the district, and then we would look at that testing and then make some decisions with regard to their placement.
However, the piece in the policy that changed is that we are no longer, based on the Accelerated Placement Act and policy, we are no longer going to put the age requirement as something that would not allow the student to access the early entrance. So age is not a requirement under the Accelerated Placement Act, essentially.
Did I hear you that parents would have to pay for that testing to determine the first level testing? Okay.
And if there are issues with that, then we do work alongside parents to have conversations mm-hmm. about how we may assist them in gaining access to that testing so that we can consider the child for early entrance. Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to comment that for a very long time, I was always bothered by academically talented being the top 2 or 3% of students in St. Charles. So I used to think that the top 2 or 3% of students in St. Charles is probably equivalent to, let's say, the top 10% of students in, you know, maybe Chicago or something like that. And that they were limited by their cohort. They were limited by the success of the school district. And I'm very happy to see now that we have this outside Iowa academically talented test or whatever it was called, and to reach a 98% on a statistical national test, I'm pretty happy about that. That they're not held back just because they're in a community that generally does pretty well. So thank you. Anything else? None heard? Would you take the call?
Yes. Mrs. Fairgrief.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes, the motion carries. The last action item is GK12 Insight. Let's talk. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Weibel?
Second.
Mr. Noling?
So, I'm just going to jump in here. Yeah, so as I discussed earlier, this was the software we had talked about. It's actually quite the bargain for the package of software that we're getting. And I gave a kind of brief description on it. There was several people there, but for those people that weren't there, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Dr. Pearson, Mrs. Smith, myself, we're happy to answer those questions. Like I said, it's multi-versatile. It can collect data. It can do all sorts of it's going to be able to just do all sorts of demographic arrangements for us so we have an idea of what the concerns are, what the feedback is, and then we'll be able to analyze it and develop strategy from there. So does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, no. On this, I really do appreciate Dr. Pearson looking into this and everyone's enthusiasm about it, but I think I'll be using my final veto to say that for me, I'm much more interested in the doing than the reporting, and that at this point we're getting too far out of the classroom, and I'd rather see a part-time social worker added to some school than this particular program. I appreciate that it might be old school to think of putting it in the classroom, but I'm going to do that. So just so you all know where I stand. Does anyone else have any other comment?
This is more kind of a follow-up from our discussion the other day. So I know right now we're just going to focus kind of on the internet piece of it, right, from Facebook and the website. But we have the opportunity to add later on, like, phone calls and emails that come outside of that, correct?
So the system actually allows us to track all incoming communication to the district related to issues and topics, and there are multiple tiers, and then there's also multiple sources mm-hmm. of information. So Facebook and Twitter is one place that we can gather information or people have opportunity to access Let's Talk. Mm-hmm. And then also, as well as from the district website, they can communicate with mm-hmm. us directly. Our incoming email, the way that, right, like right now, when you get an email from like the D303 server, will now be managed through Let's Talk so that incoming communication is also tracked. It's a highly sophisticated piece of software that really helps you manage and sort and respond. I think there's a couple of pieces, too, that are really valuable. One is that it tracks response time, so you know how long it took someone to receive a response. It also has reminders as a part of the system, so if we kind of set some parameters for how long we think it's appropriate for someone to have to wait for a response, and if for some reason reason that response didn't happen in that time, the person who is supposed to be responding receives a reminder, but then also the a person who might be their supervisor or in charge of that particular department also gets kind of a nudge that, hey, this concern or question is out there and it's still waiting for a response. Which gives them an opportunity to maybe follow up with that employee. I think it will significantly improve the communication between our community and the district. I think it certainly speaks to our commitment to customer service, and I think many, many, many businesses and other sectors have switched to this kind of a system, anyone that's in a customer service role. The other piece that I like about it is it also sends a survey after someone has received a response or had a question or concern addressed that just asks them, you know, was your question answered? You know, how did you feel about the response? And it allows us to kind of keep up with and have some information about our response time and then also kind of the quality of that response from a customer's perspective. So that's really important. I also talked to another superintendent who said that when they first rolled out the system, they only did it for compliments. To try to begin to condition their community in celebrating and expressing appreciation for things that were happening in the district. And that was the first thing that they introduced related to the system, and then they expanded it to other areas. I thought that was a great idea. He said that that was a way for them to start to really solicit and collect kind of that silent majority that's out there of people that have satisfaction with experiences that their children are having. Or, you know, we received an email as administrative team and as the board from a parent just last week about just a specific teacher that had a significant impact. So it allows us to also receive that and track those kinds of things as well.
So if I can real quick, so my follow-up to that was, so let's say if we're having a topic that's generated a lot of community interest, and let's say we have 10 people that come and talk at Citizens Comments, so that's another way for the community to engage us. Is that also kind of added into the analytical part of it? So maybe like, so if we saw like 50 people talked about hot lunch, we'll talk about hot lunch. If that became an item that was talked about and 10 people came to the board meeting to talk about hot lunch, is that kind of all added into the analytical portion? So like when we see things and reports, we can see like, okay, that was, you know, a hot topic in the community.
I'd have to check with them specifically, but my guess is that similar to the way that we entered phone calls, if we wanted to take those board comments and put those in there so that it was at least part of the system, I think that it would certainly be something that we would be able to do.
Thank you.
So last week it was still an open question related to the strategy in terms of how to roll this out. So that's still an open item versus whether we do it in partitions versus a full launch.
So one of the reasons that we're asking you to approve this now is to give us the time over the next couple of months to work with K-12 Insight to develop that rollout plan. They have done this in a lot of different ways with different districts, kind of depending on their need and the size of the organization. So I would like for them to kind of look at our current communication structure and plan and then have them make a recommendation to us for that implementation. Clearly, we want to be able to roll it out at a minimum at the district level first, you know, that some places do it in segments, like different types of things that they're collecting information on. Other districts do it at levels, so they'll do district level and then they'll add the school level comments. So I would be interested in having them help us walk through that and think through our strategy.
So then when do you expect that you'll come back or the team will come back to the board with what your rollout plan is?
Well, I certainly think that that's something that we should be able to share by the start of the summer. Okay. Because we would want to also have a plan then for staff training, right, over the summer, and then communication as we begin the school year.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you.
And I just want to reiterate, go ahead, Mr. Noll.
I just make the suggestion that if that conversation is taking place anyway, you know, that the the ongoing struggle with engagement with the board, which is a separate and distinct topic, but, you know, kind of parallel, continue on the part of the board. that as we think about, you know, the kind of data that we want to take in and evaluate, you know, that's also, you know, a conversation that I think is very germane for the next board to continue forward with.
Exactly what I was going to touch on. So this board has, struggled with the topic of community engagement and having it being discussed as a priority, but not quite sure which step to go with it. I think that's what makes the software very exciting. It's certainly a data collection piece to get some of that information to take that first step. And I think that's, I think for the board to have that discussion to look at community engagement as a priority, and now that we have a tool that will be effective to help us get that information, what do we want to do, and how do we, now we might know how to do it a little bit better with more specific information, more metrics. So I think that's what's exciting about it, is community engagement has been something that we've talked about wanting to do. We've worked with Dr. Pearson about how do we want to do that. It's something I think the board has talked about improving on, so this is a good first step for us to do that. And in this day and age, I think it's important to have that relationship with the community. So,
and I would say I don't know that the tool is the answer, or even most of the answer to the board's issue with regard to community engagement. I think, and maybe it is, I don't know. It's for the next board to decide, but I think a parallel conversation would be good to be had going forward.
I think the one thing that a question that I had asked is there's still going to be the ability for people to communicate as they have with the board. So if I wanted to send an email, for example, to Nick Mannheim, I can still type in Nick Mannheim at D303. And I want to clarify, is that the case, or does it go to all of the board?
It's my belief, and I will have to verify this with the vendor, that you can click on Board of Education and then have a list of board members available for you to receive an email. So the way it's entered is a little different, because you get that text box that pops up where you fill out your information field, but then you type in your message, but then you as a board member then receive that as an email to you.
I just want to make sure that, you know, as we move forward and give additional access points for people, and that's a tremendous thing to do, and that is going in the right direction. I don't want to, confuse people who know the previous access. You know, I don't want to close down. Talked about on-ramps before. I don't want to close down one on-ramp as we open up a couple more and people don't know where they are. So.
Yes, I can appreciate all that, and I do agree with your statement there too, that it's like I don't think this is the answer to community engagement either. In a sense, this is just kind of quantifying and categorizing the comments that the board will get, but it is not the community engagement I think that we are looking for. So I will put in my 2 cents for summit. I hope we do a summit where community can learn a lot and about the district and vice versa, and I hope something like that appears next year. Okay. Anyone else? Nope. Please take the roll.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
No. Motion carries. Thank you. That concludes for action. The next item is the consent agenda, a very long consent agenda from A to double G. May I have a, does anyone wish to pull anything from the consent agenda? Nothing? May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I missed that. Mr. Noling? Okay. And the second?
Second.
Mr. McNally is the second. So we don't have any discussion, I imagine. Would you take the roll, please?
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Noling?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Hang Fair on, Creek? Yes.
Mrs. Faircreek?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Sue?
Yes. Motion carries. Our four information items are the Freedom of Information Act requests, the Community Unit School District 303 financial report for February 2019, and the Mid-Valley financial report for February 2019. And also, for information, the District 303 student handbooks, which we've kind of already talked about today. Good? Is there any new business? I do have two things for new business. Board members, earlier in the summer, we had a member unexpectedly resign, and we had to really fumble for a while to try and figure out what we needed to do next, because it had been about 10 years since we had replaced a board member, and I think at the time I thought about it, and I had not put together, at this point, in the next month, I was wondering if the board would like me to put together a time frame, the questions, the different things that were done, so that can be put aside in a folder. Mrs. Ratchford and I talked about doing it. We hadn't done it yet, but I want to make sure that board members, or see if board members want to have that as a starting point for a potential next time.
I think that would be great, and I think that was very gracious of you.
Oh, well,
to do.
Thank you. I think also there is a change, because I think there's a change coming legislatively that instead of 45 days, there'll be 60 days, and that will be very helpful.
I would agree, and yes, yeah. I am excited about the potential change of days, because
yeah.
That was a tight time frame.
Yeah,
should that happen again? Hopefully mm-hmm. not. But
I appreciate the effort to doing that, and it's just to say, as always, more information is better.
Yeah.
So if we have the information, and we don't need it, it's better than needing the information and not having
yes.
it.
Yes, so. As it had been 10 years. And then in a couple years, Ms. Ratchford will also be retired, so there'll be like a lack of, I don't know, I'm all concerned.
Thank you for doing that, Ms. Hill, as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope to do it in the next month, but we shall see. And the next thing is something that's been on my mind for a long time, that since January 2018, we have had an increasing number and cost of FOIAs. And I completely respect citizens' right to be able to request FOIAs. However, I think that as a board, it's our fiduciary responsibility to keep an eye on that. And so I would request that a FOIA costs per requester from January 2018 till today be reported at Business Services for future at some future board meeting. I completely understand that they should be requested, but in the era of transparency and accountability, I think we also have to be accountable for the monies that are spent. And so I request that report. I have waited for a long time, and then this month I saw 17. I thought, that's it. Something's telling me. I need to speak up. So that is something I would like to see the board do in the future. Thank you. Are there any citizen comments? No citizen comments. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of 1, student discipline, 2, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, and deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, 3, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity, and 4, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Mr. Noling.
Second.
Mr. McNally. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mr. Noling.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Faircree.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Manhang?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, the motion carries. So we'll go into closed session.